Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Peter.
And we're going to be talking about the 2023 Oscars. So as you probably heard, we're joined by Peter again. Hi, Peter.
Hey.
And of course, we have Ethan. So Peter is in Washington. I'm in Oregon. Ethan is in Texas. And we've watched a bunch of movies. And so we're going to go kind of through in the order of the nominations that were posted on the Oscars page. Though I think we're going to start with some of the short film categories just because Peter and I saw those, but Ethan did not. So that way we can monologue a little bit and he can just sit there looking pretty, though you guys don't get to see him. So what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about, probably talk a little bit about some of the movies as we go, obviously, but we'll also give our picks for what we would like to win and what we think will win. And then we'll keep track of those and see how we did. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start with documentary short film. I'm the only person who watched any of these. So I actually watched The Elephant Whisperers. Actually, I'll just read the nominees. How about that? So The nominees are The Elephant Whisperers, Haul Out, How Do You Measure a Year, The Martha Mitchell Effect, and Stranger at the Gate. So I watched all of these, but How Do You Measure a Year? I couldn't find a place to watch it other than if I had gone to my theater that was doing like a thing where you could watch all the shorts at once, which I couldn't justify it.
It was like a 3-hour showing. I tried to find the time and it was tough.
Yeah, the documentary films were kind of long. The Elephant Whispers is good. I said whiskers, didn't I?
That's okay.
The Elephant Whiskers would be an interesting movie too.
Yeah.
sounds more like an animated film though. I think that would be my pick for the one that should win. I kind of feel like Haul Out will win just because it has a climate change message to it. And it's pretty unique because it's like in Russian, but there's almost no talking in it. It's just showing this guy in this little shack watching the walruses that have migrated into this place where they have no sea ice to rest, and so they're all completely exhausted, so they like crush each other.
Oh wow.
So it's grim. It's pretty grim actually, but I'll go with both of my picks for the Whiskers of the Elephant.
Okay, are we predicting this one too, even though we haven't seen them?
No, I mean you can if you want to.
Just to add to my points, I'll also predict The Elephant Whisperers. Yeah, just looked at Letterboxd scores, and that seems to be the one people like the most. So,
and you're hedging.
That's my pick.
That way, if I get it, I don't actually get
it. Exactly. Got to keep competitive here.
You're going to triple down on that, Ethan?
I guess so. I think that when I go to like mark down officially, like on my little like Letterboxd like sheets, because they do one of those, I might put it down. But for now, I won't provide my input just because I do not have a frame of reference, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. In that case, we will move on to animated short film. Okay. And Peter and I both have seen all of these.
Yeah.
So the nominations here are The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse. That's one movie, just for the record. then The Flying Sailor, Ice Merchants, My Year of Dicks, and my favorite title of anything that I've ever seen, An Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake, and I Think I Believe It.
It's a good one.
Little monologue here from me. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I know I've been talking a lot. I love the animated shorts because you get so many different animation styles. Because it tends to be a lot of the same looking stuff that you get in the feature film, because almost everything's CG these days.
Yeah.
Whereas here you have like traditional animation for a couple of these. You have stop motion animation for one of them. And then you have like a mixture of sort of traditional cartoon animation and live action. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of these, Peter?
Yeah, I liked most of them quite a bit.
Yeah.
I really, really liked Ice Merchants. That's probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I did not like The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse at
really?
All.
Really? Okay.
I really that disliked one. That one. Yeah, no, I saw your Letterboxd review of it. And like, I can see why people would like it. I can see why you'd like it, but the dialogue just really got to me. Okay. It read like a Hallmark card.
It was based on a children's book, right?
So okay.
That's why.
And that makes sense. Yeah.
But I did like the thing, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Kind, you know, I thought that is a great sentiment.
So. No, there's definitely some good lines. Overall, it became grating by the end. It was like, I think the longest one.
Because
too.
You're a jaded millennial.
Exactly.
I guess you're Gen Z, right?
So I'm somewhere in the middle. Who knows?
Yeah. I really enjoyed The Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake, and I think I believe it because it's stop motion animated, which I love. Mm-hmm. It's Australian, which is fun as well. Yeah. And there's some cool body horror stuff to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that one has some like horror elements, and I was enjoying myself. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ethan, if you can find that one, actually you can find it on Vimeo. Mm-hmm. I should have just sent you the link. I don't think it's a legit upload.
Probably not.
But I saw it on a couple, like, where can you watch these things? Mm-hmm. But like one of the first comments under it is, did you get permission from the creator to post this here?
So, probably not.
I suspect not. But I would pick the Ostrich movie.
That's your pick for it winning and your favorite?
Yes.
Okay. I have different picks. My pick for the win, I think The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse is going to win. Because it's like Apple TV and it's got a big sponsor.
Sure.
I feel like it'll win. And it's really, you know, well produced. And then my pick is Ice Merchants. I really liked Ice Merchants.
But, okay.
But I think The Boy, it will win.
Ethan, do you want to weigh in on this one or not?
You know, I heard body horror, so I'm going to go with The Ostrich.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But other than that's all I got. I actually kind of wish that I'd gotten some of these just because I do like shorts. So now that I'm thinking about it more, I'm like, dang, I wish I'd gotten to them. But maybe later.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move on to live action short film. And I only saw two of these, and Peter saw all of them.
I saw all five.
Well, do you want to list them, Peter?
Sure, yeah. There's a couple that I will mispronounce, but An Irish Goodbye, Evalu, Le Pupil, Night Ride, and The Red Suitcase.
I wonder if the pupils, it's called The Pupils, right? I think it's Italian, so it'd be Le Pupile.
Le Pupille.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I only watched Night Ride and Le Pupille, which are both, you know, different languages. One of them is Italian, the other is Swedish. At least I think it's Swedish.
Almost everything in this is not English. The only one I think that's in English is An Irish Goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any particular thoughts about these?
Yeah, I liked most of these. I also feel like this one is a category where I didn't enjoy kind of the contender, like the leading one, Le Pupille. Hmm. It's probably my least favorite of the five.
Okay.
For me, it just felt less focused than the rest. It really well produced, you know, really well acted.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of good there, but I really enjoyed the very kind of focused approach that like An Irish Goodbye and The Red Suitcase took. They were very... very focused. I really liked those two.
Okay. Well, what's your pick?
My pick is An Irish Goodbye for both. I really liked it, and I think it could win.
Okay, I'll hedge here a little bit and go with Le Pupille, which is, you know, one of the ones I enjoyed. And it's the one I enjoyed more. Although, Night Ride was fun.
Night Ride has a it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we can invite Ethan back into the conversation.
Yes.
Somebody wake up Ethan.
Yeah. Just over here falling asleep.
Okay. So we're jumping right into the acting categories. And then there's some of the kind of lots of the other categories. And we'll eventually get to picture and we'll see how it goes.
Something or another. Yeah.
Okay. So actor in a leading role. We have Austin Butler for Elvis, Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser for The Whale, Paul Mescal for After Sun, and Bill Nighy for Living.
Yeah.
I saw all of these.
I saw most of them, just not After Sun and Living.
Okay. Correct. Yeah, I'm there as well. I've seen 3/5 of it.
All right. So, thoughts?
Some great performances this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane performances.
Yeah. I feel like there's not really a bad pick on here.
No.
Like,
no, I'm struggling to find a front runner, honestly.
Yeah. This one's a hard one to handicap because I'm like, you know, the Academy loves biopics, right?
They do.
Right. And Dad, I was actually going to ask, like, you're the only one that saw Living. And I actually talked to Mom and you said you really resonated with Bill's performance. So I wanted you to kind of talk about that and tell me how you thought.
Yeah. It's funny because I posted my review on Letterboxd and then I looked around and I saw a bunch of other people who were much lower on it than I was. And it's because it's kind of like the Cold Pursuit and... whatever
Order of Disappearance.
The name, Order of Disappearance, where it's basically an exact copy, just in English. And so I haven't seen Ikiru, which it's based on. And I think watching it in this order, I got the maximum enjoyment out of it. And, you know, I'm older than you guys. And so, like, the idea of an old guy getting a medical diagnosis resonates more with me. Plus, yeah. I in college read The Death of Ivan Ilyich, which Ikiru is based on.
Okay.
So yeah, I really loved it, and I was surprised that it didn't get more recognition, more nominees, or more nominations.
It sounds like it's because it's, you know, such a direct remake.
Could be.
I need to watch both. Yeah, I heard really good things about Living, though.
Yeah, and then
despite the remake.
You know, After Sun is another one where I really like the idea of Paul Mescal winning for that one because it's very different. It's not a showy performance at all. It's very subtle. Mm-hmm. The movie is pretty subtle as well. And actually the girl who plays his daughter in that, it's like her first role and she's fantastic. Wow. Really, really solid. And like I said, all of these are good.
Yeah.
You know, Austin Butler still hasn't figured out how to stop doing the Elvis voice.
Well, the interesting thing is when I'm looking at this group of actors, like you have Austin, who's probably the middle, like not super old, still young, but like not as young as Paul. I think Paul's the youngest. And then you have Bill, who's obviously on the older side, and then Colin and Brendan, both of which are more seasoned veterans. Brendan has obviously having like the big kind of comeback is what people would say with his performance. Yeah. And then Colin obviously has been acting from a really young age. I actually listened to a really interesting interview. It was like a round table discussion. It had Brendan, it had Colin, and it had a couple other people. And I thought that was brilliant just to kind of hear their backgrounds. And so that made me even more involved with this part of the Oscar race.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say if there's a front runner here, or if there's front runners here, for me, it's got to be Austin Butler and Brendan Fraser. They both have... Austin Butler, obviously, with the Elvis, his biopic, Academy loves him. And Brendan Fraser has this really, really cool comeback story. And he's been sweeping other awards. So he's looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also am going to go. I think Austin's going to win. I think when you look at like, it's kind of been all over the place with the different award shows. I like Brendan won for the Critic Choice. Mm-hmm. Austin won for Golden Globe. And so there's like, I can't really tell because when it's been split that much, you kind of just have to go with your gut. But the biopic thing is very true. Like, Taron won for Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody obviously was won by, I'm blanking on his name.
Rami Malek.
I feel like an idiot.
Rami Malek.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Austin for, I think, who will win. I would like Colin or Brendan. I did that as a tie. I think both of them would be great to win.
I think it sounds like you're talking about the two leads from
Brendan
the Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah. Brendan Gleeson. Yeah. Speaking of that, it would be cool to have both Colin and Brendan Gleeson win lead and supporting, but when we get to it, like there's no way anyone but Kehui Kwan is supporting.
Oh yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah. I had put Colin Farrell down is my guess of who will win. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on in the awards season. I've seen a few things here and there. So I'm not really basing it on any kind of education. It's just a 1 in 5 guess kind of.
Yeah.
But you know, going with recency bias, I would probably go with Bill Nighy because I think it's fantastic. And I do want to correct myself. I think I said Brendan Fraser and it is Brendan Fraser. Nobody ever says it right.
Okay. I've never.
I saw a video of him the other day saying it's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. For this one, I'll say my actual pick, my pick who I think will win is Austin Butler, which is, I feel like is a really close toss up. And then I think my personal choice would be Brendan Fraser. I do really like his performance in that movie. Fraser. I'm sorry.
There we go.
Sorry, Brendan.
I didn't mention that at some point we might talk about some snubs because I feel like Ralph Fiennes should have been nominated in this category.
Yeah, he was great.
I could see that as well. I also feel like, and I think you mentioned this, I can't remember the actor's name for The Kid and the Fablemans.
Yeah, Gabriel LaBelle was really, really good.
I thought he was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he was the best performance in that movie.
I agree.
The one that didn't get
nominated. I agree.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we covered that one then. So,
yeah,
actor in a supporting role. Anybody else want to read these ones off?
Why don't we let Ethan do it?
I knew you were. I was like, come on.
I had to read the short film.
That's
one
fair.
Of them.
That's fair. So the actor in a supporting role, the nominees are Brendan Gleeson in The Banshees of Inisherin, Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway, or Causeway, excuse me, and then Judd Hirsch in The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan in The Banshees of Inisherin, and then Ke-Huy Quan in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't think I got his name right. I think that's
as good as I would have done with it. So
yeah.
Generally, I try to figure out how to pronounce people's names. Okay, so let's talk about some of these performances before we all agree that it should be Ke-Huy Quan.
Yes.
It will be.
Yeah. It will be. Yeah.
I think personally for me, the one that is the most underrated that I've seen, because I have only seen, the only one I haven't seen is Causeway. I did hear really good things about
him. He is really good in that movie.
He's super good.
Yeah.
So for me, I thought Barry Keoghan, I loved him.
He's fantastic.
Just done a lot of stuff, and he's just so lovable. And I think he's just going to have a hell of a career, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And so that just gets me really excited for his future. And I also thought that Brendan Gleeson was also really good. That movie just rules. So I kind of just had to highlight both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Judd Hirsch, he could win. He could be like a dark horse pick because of like the Judi Dench sort of thing from Shakespeare in Love, where she's in the movie for like 4 minutes and gets an Oscar.
I was so surprised to see him get nominated. I had to look up and clarify who he was playing. Mm-hmm. I forgot that he was even in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the eccentric uncle, right? Who comes in to sit Shiva for someone who's died.
Yeah, it's a weird pick for this category, but
it is. It's like he
had a good performance.
It's a single monologue.
Yeah.
And it's a good monologue, but not really worthy of an Oscar to me.
Not compared to a lot of these others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like Brian Tyree Henry even doesn't feel like a supporting actor in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically two people in that movie.
It's like a lead and a lead, mm-hmm. but, you know, obviously he's not the lead in the movie. It feels weird that he's a supporting actor here.
You know, I think the producers, I don't know exactly how this works. Somebody can maybe tell me, but I feel like they get to submit people into categories.
I think so. They probably thought he had a better chance of winning here than in Best Actor, which he absolutely would in a year that didn't have Everything Everywhere All at Once. But sadly, no chance.
All right, we're moving on.
I mean, we could kind of just nerd out a little bit about
let's do
his
that.
Performance.
Well, let's do it.
Okay, so as a Gen X guy, right, I grew up Short Round and Data from The Goonies, right, were like two major characters in my childhood. And so then to see him sort of pass into obscurity and then all of a sudden come back and do this
with
like
a vengeance,
evoking like young Jackie Chan in this movie.
He does everything.
And that's just with the physicality of it, right?
Yeah.
But the physicality and the comedy as well, but some of the pathos stuff in there too. I mean, he's so good.
He's so good. He deserves this. I mean, this isn't one of those years where it's just, you know, someone has a great comeback story and they're going to win because of it.
Yeah.
He deserves this. This is, I would personally say the best performance in the movie. In a movie of great performances.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's just the heart in a movie full of heart. He's so much. He's great.
Definitely.
Yeah, being able to, like the fanny pack, or bum bag, I guess, if you're in the UK. Fight scene is so good. But then, like, I would have been happy just doing laundry and taxes with you. It's just this crushing moment, right?
It crushes me every time. I've seen the movie like 5 times.
And the way he rocks that tux too, I'm like, dude, let's get him to play James Bond.
Easy.
Yeah.
He's got range.
Yeah.
I think that the moment you mentioned, Dad, about the laundry, like that's obviously the most crushing line. And when I went and rewatched it, I wanted to like listen to something that was like, what was this, the like sleeper quote that he had, you know? And I think when you think the movie kind of ends in like the middle, when they have like that big fight and then it's actually like them watching the movie, he has that monologue about being kind. And I think that the second time really hit home. I think it went over my head a little bit because I was so taken back by the spectacle of it visually with all the colors. Yeah. And then I heard that. I was like, wow, that is really profound, especially considering the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah.
All right. Okay, to move on.
Yeah, I think we all have the same pick.
Yeah.
Prediction, that is.
Yeah.
Yes. If we'll burn the whole thing down if he doesn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so actress in a leading role. I'll go ahead and do these. So Cate Blanchett for Tar. Ana de Armas for Blonde, Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie, Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans, and Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I did see all of these. You guys, neither of you saw Blonde or To Leslie.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Just for anyone at home who's in a similar situation, I'll tell you, watch To Leslie. It's a good movie. Blonde is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And it's 3 hours long. It's just brutal. Yeah.
Was she even very good in it?
Sure, she's good in it. It's just, it's a head scratcher. Like it's not even really true, lots of the stuff that happens in the movie. And so,
that's what I've heard.
So it's really hard to get behind the performance. She does a creditable job with the accent, considering how strong her accent is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not good. To Leslie is very, very good though. So there's some controversy about like how they went after votes, how they kind of did a marketing campaign for it, like viral marketing, almost getting other actors to to sort of read the same ad copy. So it was approved though. They could have struck it down. They could have put in a different nomination, but you know, it's very deserved as well. And that's another one where like, I think she's English and there was not a trace of an accent. She was fantastic. And I'm usually somebody who can pick out a dodgy American accent. So what do you think of Tar and The Fabelmans and Everything Everywhere All at Once? I guess the performances there.
Performances. Yeah. Great. For me, at least, I think these are all awesome performances. Michelle Williams is probably the most underrated of these three, at least talked about, I'd say.
Yeah.
But she gives a great performance, I think.
Yeah, she's good. For me, the best performance in that movie was Seth Rogen. So, other than the kid.
I think I'd agree. Seth Rogen's very interesting in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also agree. I think Michelle Williams was good. This is a two race, like a two-person race, realistically.
Yeah.
It's Kate versus Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of throw out there what I think is going to happen. I don't see Kate losing, even though I really want her to. I really want Michelle Yeoh to win. And it's not because I made it sound like I don't want Kate to win. I just love Michelle so much in that movie.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to admit that I think Kate will win. I think it's just more when I think of what wins.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes more sense to my brain. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see Everything Everywhere getting some love in other categories, but I think for the actor and actress ones, it's going to be a little different.
Gotcha. What about you, Peter?
You know, I have gone back and forth on this one a lot. And initially in the race, I thought it would be Kate Blanchett. I really thought she would be taking this, but I'm feeling like Michelle Yeoh. I feel like she'll win.
So bad.
And I might be wrong here because Kate Blanchett has looked like such a strong winner this whole time. But I don't know. People love the whole cast of that movie. And I think she's going to take it.
Okay.
And that she's also my pick for the year. I really liked her too.
I agree with you guys on our pick, right? Who we want to win. I'm going to go with Kate Blanchett as well. I saw something where people were like, Kate Blanchett spoke four languages in that movie. I'm like, Michelle Yeoh spoke at least two languages, plus did all the kung fu and all the emotional stuff. And it's, I mean, she had to do a lot of lifting in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Snubs in this one. Did anybody have snubs? I guess we didn't take them in the, it's harder to do for supporting role for lead actor. It's a little easier to come up with snubs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would consider it a supporting. I thought Kiki Palmer should have been nominated.
Yeah. For Nope.
Personally. Would you consider that supporting or lead? Cause she's kind of a co-lead with Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. I would call her the lead in that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lead.
Well, then,
a lead for sure.
And then also Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Like she could get nominated every year for the rest of her acting career.
Pretty much.
Yeah, probably.
So.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think of it, like a supporting nod for actor for Nicholas Hoult in that one, because he was really important in that movie.
Yeah.
and it's one of those performances that I feel like on a second viewing, I would be like, yep. Yeah, he's the glue that's holding this movie together.
He's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that shocked me is not seeing anyone from Women Talking nominated in any category. Mm-hmm. Because that's a, I mean, I guess it's just a big ensemble cast and it's hard to like pick out somebody for a lead. But boy, there's some great performances in that movie.
There are. And like that's what I feel like if one of the performances had been bad, it really would have stuck out in that movie.
Yeah.
I think my pick for snub in there would have been Rooney Mara. I think she was really great. What is the other one that I'm thinking of?
Buckley?
Jesse Buckley.
Yes. Jesse Buckley. That's it.
I can make it sound like we came up with that quicker.
Sounds good. Yeah, perfect. I have only seen her in like one other thing, but I think she was great in it.
Yeah. The Chernobyl and...
I'm thinking of Ending Things.
I'm thinking of Ending Things.
That's the one I know her from.
Okay. So that's it for actress in a leading role. So actress in a supporting role. Mm-hmm. Peter, why don't you take these ones?
Okay. We've got Angela Bassett from Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Hong Chau from The Whale. Carrie Condon from The Banshees of Inisherin. Jamie Lee Curtis from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Stephanie Sue from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice. Yeah. So this is another pretty good category. Though I feel like there were a lot of names I could have seen on here that we didn't get.
Yeah.
Because I'll just say off the top, I didn't love Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and mm-hmm. I didn't really buy a lot of the stuff that Angela Bassett's character did. And mm-hmm. so that takes the performance down for me. Like mm-hmm. firing Okoye. I'm like, what are you doing? I understand being emotional about things, but seriously, I didn't get that at all. And so that took that performance down a little bit for me.
Yeah. I feel like that moment where she does fire Okoye is a very significant moment that got her that nomination. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't buy it, which I would agree with, I don't think it was a bad performance. I just don't think that you're contending with the other four on this list.
My problem with it is that I think Black Panther Wakanda Forever is probably the worst movie nominated in this category. While I do think her performance is good in the movie, is great in the movie, I just didn't like it as much as any of the others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could be Marvel fatigue, but it's a little tough, but I do think she'll. Yeah.
I think she will as well.
I rewatched the UN speech and that was really, really good.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's good in the role.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt about that.
I did want to, at some point, we haven't really talked about The Whale because we've had now two nominees from it. And this was a, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. This is the year of the weird aspect ratio.
Yeah. There's some weird, because 4:3.
Yeah. 4:3. I mean, I feel like The Lighthouse did it and then people started going, oh, that's a way to make my movie interesting.
Yeah.
So I think there's three movies on the list that have that.
Whale is one.
EO.
What's the other one?
The other two.
EO, the Polish movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Right.
And what was the other one? Oh, The Quiet Girl.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the Whale is a tough watch in a lot of ways.
If I had to describe it, I always, in my mind, whenever I rate movies on Letterboxd, try to rate it in terms of its rewatchability. Mm-hmm. That was one that I had to separate it because if I had to choose a movie that I would 100% never watch again, it's that. Mm. I don't think I could do it again. And I think those performances are good in there, but I mean, I just can't. I can't watch it again.
Yeah. For me, I really didn't like The Whale. I like all the performances in it. I really think Brendan Fraser is great in it. And I actually really like Hong Chau in there. She's mm-hmm. kind of had a huge kind of moment this year, I feel like. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, she was in the menu. Too, right? Yeah, she was awesome in that.
She's in a third thing this year that I can't remember. But yeah, I feel like I keep seeing her. She keeps being great.
She's eventually going to win something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But for The Whale, I just found it to be so manipulative. Would probably be my take, my feeling on it at least, is it just feels emotionally manipulative.
Yeah.
And it didn't do it for me. It made me feel like the movie was cheating out these emotions rather than earning them. It was more just let me hit you with as much reprehensible trauma as possible until you feel something, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my feeling.
Though. Yeah, it worked more for me. Which I'm surprised because I really object to fat suits.
Yeah.
Because lots of times it's used for comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and this definitely does not do that. It's more like it's Aronofsky, right? So it's more like body horror.
Yeah.
But like I don't come from a place of authority to say, is this like super anti-fat, fat phobic?
Yeah.
I mean, it's based on a play. Play. I think. It kind of feels like it's based on a play.
Especially with the location being just in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, makes it feel a little bit different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I would agree with Peter that the emotions, I walked out of the theater feeling the emotions, but not knowing really how I got there. I just know that they existed.
Yeah.
And it was a strange feeling.
Yeah, it didn't feel earned to me, just kind of exploitative.
Yeah. The only reason I wanted to divert for that one is I felt like it was worth talking about and it's not on the best picture list. So we can talk about some of these other ones when we get there.
Yeah. For sure.
Snubs in supporting role. I really enjoyed She Said. I thought it was good. It was just sort of standard, like spotlight, you know, competence porn kind of stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
And I really liked Zoe Kazan in that one. And she was really good. Carrie Mulligan's good as well. Everyone from Women Talking could have been nominated in this category.
Totally.
And I really liked Amy Lou Wood in Living, which she's a hilarious character in Sex Education, which that show is so funny.
Okay.
Yeah. It's outrageous, but very funny.
So, Dad, what would be your pick?
Right. I guess we haven't even done that yet.
Yeah. Well, let's get to those.
I was going
to
get that started.
Man, I've gone back and forth on this one because I feel like it's going to be somebody from Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it is probably going to be Jamie Lee Curtis, but I would go with Stephanie Sue.
Yeah, so I want it to be Stephanie Sue. I just don't see a way Angela doesn't win it
at
this point. I think she's won at every other award show, except that the Critics' Choice Jamie Lee Curtis did win, which makes it interesting. And so I'm not sure. But I really want Stephanie Sue to win. I think that's the most underrated performance in that movie, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think Angela Bassett's going to win this. My pick is actually, like, for my favorite performance of these, is actually, I think, Carrie Condon from
Banshee's Finish. She's really good.
She's super good in it. I feel like, you know, because she's not one of the two leads, it's a little bit, it's kind of underrated in it. But she's great. Mm-hmm. I think
she's been good for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, in a weaker year, she would have swept it. She had such a good performance.
Right. Okay. Move on.
To cinematography.
Okay. So for cinematography, we have All Quiet on the Western Front, James Friend, Bardo, Darius Kanji, Elvis, Mandy Walker, Empire of Light, Roger Deakins, and Tar, Florian Hoffmeister.
What did we think?
And I saw all of these. I saw almost everything.
Well, I can kind of just say some stuff. I saw All Quiet, Elvis, and Tar.
Same.
Personally, for me, out of the three, I'm going to toss Elvis to the side. I think it is visually beautiful in a way that I am not a huge fan of.
Yes.
And so I do respect it and enjoy that, but it's just not what I think is going to win. It's not what I would choose. Personally, I think All Quiet will win, and I do want it to win.
Okay.
I think it makes the most sense. Even though Roger Deakins is in this category and it feels blasphemous to not choose him, I think All Quiet has a really good shot.
Okay. How about you, Peter?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think All Quiet is the flashy one. It looks good. And a lot of the kind of effects shots look really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the main reason why I'd give this one the edge in best cinematography. I'm curious how Empire of Light and Bardo look, because I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I can talk about those.
Okay.
Yes, please.
But yeah, without seeing them, I think All Quiet is my pick and my prediction.
It's the same for me. I feel like that's the winner, and that's probably what I would pick. Bardo is a bonkers movie. It all makes sense when you get to the very, very end, but from a lot of the movie, you're going to be going, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
And the whole thing is in like a 110 degree field of vision, fisheye kind of thing.
Oh.
Which is a little weird. It's got the strangest sex scene I've ever seen.
Okay.
Or the strangest moment in a sex scene, anyway.
Nice.
I don't think I really liked it, but I did like the trick it pulled on me at the end where I got there and I was like, oh, that's what's been going on. Okay. But the camera is deployed well. Empire of Light is kind of standard fare. Roger Deakins, you know, he does a great job. I just don't think the movie is good enough to really win.
Okay.
I thought it was good. Your mom would like it. No, she probably wouldn't, because there's a bad guy that sexually exploits someone. So,
Well, I really quickly wanted to say, and I must say this a couple times throughout, that the Batman should have been nominated and should have won this category.
Yep.
No question for me.
I agree.
I'm gonna plug that as many times as possible. There's already some categories where I wish I could throw people in there, or cinematographers or whatever. But
yeah,
I think that that's a big snub for me personally, especially with Greg Frazier. I mean, he did, I think he did Dune. Mm-hmm. I think he did like Rogue One. And so he's been killing it.
Yeah.
And so I really would have liked him to have won there.
Well, that movie was shot in a cool way too. So
I know. And it was really well done. So yeah,
honestly,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, my snub for this category that I didn't write down is Decision to Leave. That movie looks great,
and it didn't get the foreign.
Or
the
it didn't get any feature nomination. Yeah, nothing at all. And I think
people were kind of up in arms about that.
I'm up in arms about it. I think it's the best one.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to costume design. So it's another one where I've seen all of them. So we have Babylon, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Hmm.
That's a movie your mom would like. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
I was actually planning to watch it with her because I thought she'd love this. It looks like her kind of thing.
Yeah, she would love it. Right. Babylon looks like it should smell like a wet mop. like everybody looks like they smell so bad in that movie.
Mm.
Especially Margot Robbie. But it's kind of a bonkers. There's a couple moments in it that are just tremendous. There's a scene where they're trying to shoot their first talking film, and the director is just absolutely losing his mind. It's so fun. but that has nothing to do with costume design. So, all right. So, any thoughts on this one, Ethan?
Yeah. So, personally, I think that it's hard to not put Black Panther winning. I've only seen Black Panther, Elvis, and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And so all three of those are very, I wouldn't say Black Panther is necessarily flashy, but it's relatively flashy with its costume design.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elvis and Everything Everywhere, I think they're all good picks. I think if anything, this could be like the one that they're like, okay, we want to give Black Panther or give the MCU film some love. This will be the category it wins.
Mm.
And then I would like Everything Everywhere All at Once to win. I think that's going to be a pretty common theme throughout this thing, wanting Everything Everywhere to win. So
yeah,
I'm not quite sure. It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Peter?
Yeah. For this one, my prediction is Elvis. I was actually between Elvis and Babylon. Even though I haven't seen Babylon, the Academy just loves giving period pieces and like historical stuff, costume design.
Yeah.
They think if you make the costumes look like they were from, 50 or 60 years ago, it's great. That's how I've noticed. I do think Black Panther Wakanda Forever's costumes are good. Actually, I saw this exhibit at the Seattle Science Fiction and Art Museum, I think.
Museum of Pop Culture
on Ruth Carter's work on Black Panther and a bunch of other movies. And that kind of made me appreciate a lot of the details in the costume design. So, well, I think that one should have a chance at winning. I think Elvis will take it. I don't think Elvis is going to take much else this year, personally. So I think they're going to...
That might be
gonna,
their one.
Yeah, throw it thing. A bone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is the same kind of period thing.
And yeah.
I don't see that one winning either. I'm just going to go both my pick and my guess with Everything Everywhere All at Once, just because I want it to win everything. So.
Yeah. I love the costumes in that movie. The everything that Jobu Tabaki wears is so fun.
Yeah.
You could just have her be the reason that film was nominated, to be
exactly.
honest.
Yeah.
For real.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to put the sub in there for the Batman real quick.
The snub.
slightly kidding, but not really. Well, it looks like directing is next up.
Mm-hmm. Directing is next up. So, Peter, your turn.
All right, I'll take it. For directing, we have Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin, The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans, Todd Field for Tar, Ruben Ostlund for Triangle of Sadness.
Nice. Okay, we've all seen every one of these. So
yeah.
This is our first unanimous category.
Yeah.
Well, not unanimous, but at least we've all seen them.
For sure.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because, like, for me, it's hard to tie down where does directing and cinematography and production design all meet. And I feel like directing kind of gets to take credit for everything.
It really does, yeah.
Personally, at least, like, I saw someone describe directing as like, you can notice it as like the best ability to get the best work out of your actors, which is like, you say it and you're like, okay, I still don't know what that actually means.
Yeah.
But for me personally, when you look at the list of people nominated also, you see Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to take it. I'm not sure. Like, I really want the Daniels to win. That's like my big one that I want to win. And I could also see Martin McDonagh, because I think he won the Golden Globe for it, if I'm not mistaken. So this one's a little strange, but like, I feel like it's safe to put money on Spielberg, even though I want the Daniels to win it.
Yeah. For me, my pick here is actually the Daniels. I'm predicting an everything sweep. And if everything gets snubbed really badly this year, then I'm going to do terribly. But if it if it sweeps like I think it will, I think the Daniels have a really good shot at this. I think Spielberg was good this year, but it doesn't feel like he was like that much better than the years that he's won, or even better than some of the years, other years he's won. And he's already won before. I just don't think they need to tell him how great he is every year.
Yeah.
let other people win. You know, he got the nom. He's good. I'd like the Daniels to win, and I think they will.
I feel like giving Spielberg the best directing for directing a movie that's basically about his own life would be like Hollywood would just blow up
at that point. Yeah.
That's really funny. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like Everything Everywhere All at Once to win this, but I'm going to say Martin McDonagh.
Okay. This is some split opinions. Variety,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's a movie that's mostly about the acting, but the way it's shot really, really accentuates it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think a sleeper pick would be directing for Triangle of Sadness. That's just that is a movie.
It sure is.
That's a movie.
That is a movie.
You can.
We'll talk about it when we get to picture.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously.
And do you have a snub for this one, Ethan?
You know, I of course do have a snub, and that's going to be Matt Reeves for the Batman.
I just wanted to see, you know, if that was,
a few years ago we were doing this, Peter, and like you were picking, the Sound of Metal for everything. Ethan's like Batman for everything this time.
The Batman for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like partially like a joke, but like when I was going through the categories that I think were reasonable, directing was one of them. And so it makes me a little sad just because I do love Matt Reeves and I think he's doing a good job. So.
Yeah.
For real.
Film editing. I'll go ahead and fire off these ones. I'm not going to say the names for this.
Nah.
All right. So we have The Banshees of Inisherin. We have Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar, and Top Gun Maverick, the first appearance of that movie on this list. So thoughts on editing, Ethan?
So I'll kind of just go with what I think is going to happen right away and kind of explain a little bit. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once will win, and I want Everything Everywhere All at Once to win. I think the nature of its story, the way it's told, you have to have a masterful editor. Also knowing that like this film was shot in a month and the rest was spent on editing.
Right.
Makes me think that there was a lot of work to put into this.
Oh, the scale of the task to edit that movie is amazing.
Just, you know, with the, you know, different universes and all that, with how quick it is. Like it's really one of the best pieces of editing I've ever seen. And it's not to like take away from any of the other films. I just don't think anything else should win.
You agree, Peter?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Everything Everywhere is going to take this, and I'd like it to take this. There's an outside chance that Elvis will win because it has the most editing. Just a lot of editing.
That's true.
It's that movie. That was mostly a joke, although, what's it called? What won a couple years ago? That Bohemian Rhapsody won for editing, and that was just a movie with a ton of editing. Lot of cuts, a lot of, like, whipping around, but it's not good. You know, the editing's bad, but there's a lot of it. And I still think, Everything Everywhere. The pacing, the way the editing kind of helps the movie's pace and helps the momentum of the movie, it's just feels like a masterclass.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I agree. Everything Everywhere All at Once should win, and I think it will win. And this is another one where we all saw everything. Actually, we're kind of solidly into the categories where we've all seen everything.
Yeah.
Mostly.
You know, Top Gun Maverick, the I'm not sure if it's visual effects or editing that I'm more impressed with in that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of actual photography where the effects are making it look like Tom Cruise is flying a plane that he's riding in. Mm-hmm. But the editing carries some of that too, right? To make you believe that he's flying that plane.
Oh, yeah.
And it's impressive, so.
Yeah, that movie, I just, you know, I don't think it has a chance because of everything everywhere, but you're right. Like the kinetic nature of the editing feels great. Like as action scenes just move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that movie should win an Oscar in some category.
It should.
Just so we get more movies that are awesome. So
it's so great.
We'll get back to that when we get to
Well, the interesting thing is like, if it were to win a category, it would have to be that one.
Probably. So, there's one other category, I think.
There's a category I think it's going to win.
Okay. All right. We'll get there. I suspect it is not going to be makeup and hairstyling because it is not nominated in that category.
But the nominees. You know what is nominated for that, Dad, is this little film called The Batman.
Would you like to announce
this
category?
Do you want to read these?
You know, I would love nothing less than to read these nominees. So for makeup and hairstyling, we have All Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, and The Whale.
I mean, for The Whale, the achievement in makeup is that Brendan Fraser, I won't say looks great, but the makeup is very effective.
It's very effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's kind of, I mean, it's like, it's literally just doing him.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I don't, you know, there's nothing particular that needed to be done with the other characters. Mm-hmm. Elvis, there was a lot of hairstyling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they did. This is where they did the fat suit I didn't like this year on Tom Hanks. I'm like, why? Why did he need
abomination?
Okay, I'll save my rant about that for when we get to, because it's nominated for Best Picture, isn't it? I'll save it. Yeah, I mean, my pick would be The Batman, honestly, because I think like what they do with making Bruce Wayne look as unhealthy as he does. I mean, part of that is this, just that it's Robert Pattinson and he kind of has that look.
Yeah. And not even talk about the Penguin. They made him up like crazy.
Yeah. And I was going to mention, like, you talked about how Brendan and The Whale was like the one character they had to do significant makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colin is like that one big character. Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff that's done in the film to make it look like a comic book.
Yeah.
And I think that's really well done in the makeup department. So like, that's what I want to win reasonably. I don't think it will. I don't know. This one's weird because I also actually, I have Black Panther as my pick right now. Okay. I might change that later. But yeah, I'm not sure. This is one that I'm not sure on, even though I want the Batman to win.
Yeah. I mean, I have my pick for the Batman, but I'm going to go with All Quiet on the Western Front.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just for a few times where the dude was covered with grime. I'm like, it looked fantastic.
Mm. It looks good.
Yeah.
For this one, my prediction is actually really similar to my reasoning for costuming. I think it's Elvis. I think they love biopics. They love it when you try to make someone look like a historical figure or a celebrity. I think it's going to be Elvis. I think that'll be the win. And I think my favorite makeup here is the Batman. Yeah, really good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're on to the musical categories. So we have original score. And there we have All Quiet on the Western Front, Babylon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fablemans. So I will say I want this to go to Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I think it will. Ethan?
Okay.
Interesting. I think Babylon takes it. I actually haven't seen Babylon, but everything that I've heard, I think it takes it. However, I really – my favorite score of the year, other than some – you know, dare I say, some Batman stuff is actually the score for All Quiet. And so that's, I really like that one.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what I want to win, but what I think will win, I think, is Babylon. Mm.
I will say, like, I am not usually a score guy. It takes a really special score for me to really even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sunshine. Mm. I love the score for Sunshine.
Right.
And Lady Hawk, obviously.
But okay. Yeah, my prediction for this one's same as Ethan. I think Babylon will take it. I think Justin Hurwitz is normally really good. I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard really good things about the score. And I think Justin Hurwitz hasn't won yet. I feel like maybe he didn't win for La La Land when Maybe he should have. Maybe he did win for that. Mm. I don't know. He's generally quite good.
Yeah, I'm curious if I went back. I told Elaine that your aunt, your mom, that I wanted to show her a couple scenes from Babylon because we didn't watch it together. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I wonder if the score really heightened the tension in a couple of the scenes.
It might have.
Because it's super frenetic in places. And I bet the score really did some work that I didn't even notice.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So my prediction is Babylon, and my favorite is actually, I really liked the Banshees of Inisherin. It's very like subtle, but I think it carries a lot of these like long kind of quiet shots of someone, you know, just walking down a road or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's subtle, but I think it works.
Okay.
Cool. So I just clarified, it looks like he has won La La Land and Whiplash.
Interesting.
So it says he has two wins.
Wow.
But I don't think he won for First Man. So probably I think not. It has to be Whiplash and La La Land.
Wow. Make it three wins.
Did anybody have any snubs for score?
Okay, Dad. You know, I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't know if I was going to get annoyed. But, scream into the mic, I would. I don't understand how Michael Giacchino was not getting nominated there. If anything, if I had to pick one thing for it to win for, it would actually be score.
Okay.
So that may be the most sad that it was not nominated.
Yeah. Okay. Original song is one of those things that, like, I don't know why this exists.
Yeah.
As a category. I mean, I get it. Right. Songs can really bring something out in a movie, but most of the time, most of these songs are played over the end credits, and I don't even see why. How is that important to the movie?
Yeah.
So for me, I will just say, I'll do the actual list here. So the one that I haven't seen, none of us have seen, Applause. I guess that's the song, right? Tell It Like a Woman. Applause is the song. And then from Top Gun Maverick, Hold My Hand. From Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Lift Me Up. From RRR, Natu Natu. And from Everything Ever All at Once, This Is a Life. The real winner here is Ciao Papa from Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, but it did not even get nominated.
And no.
This category is invalid.
Yeah. Feels a little silly that didn't get nominated.
Yeah, because it's part of the movie, and it's a part of the movie that absolutely makes me bawl my head off. And maybe it's just because of an old softy whose father is no longer living.
I agree. It's a very important moment, I feel like, and I'm shocked it's not nominated. Yeah.
And it's beautiful. So whereas like most of this, they're just generic pop songs, right?
Yeah. And honestly, with a list like this, I'm surprised that the Doja Cat song from Elvis wasn't nominated. Vegas. Mm. I don't know if you've heard that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I've definitely heard
that. Went super viral for a long time. I'm very surprised it isn't on here, simply because they play all these at the Oscars. Like, they have them all performed. And I think that would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It would be very fun, actually.
Yeah.
So I generally favor – I mean, like, you can go and – like, I watched all the – music videos for the songs, right? You can do that on YouTube, even though I haven't seen all the movies. I will always credit one more for if it's a moment in the movie, right? Like like Ciao Papa. And so for me, the obvious pick here is Natu Natu from RRR because it's the most fun moment of the movie. Did you guys ever either watch that one?
No, sadly. Oh, okay. I'll get to it.
It makes me very sad, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bonkers. But sure, it's fun. But yeah, so that would be my pick. And that's my guess actually as well. How about you guys?
Okay. Yeah, I barely have an opinion on this one. My prediction is Natu Natu. I've heard a lot of good things. And it sounds like, it's pretty much the only one that's from like a scene in the movie.
Yeah.
My pick is Ciao Papa. That's the one I think should have won.
Yeah.
And Natu Natu is my prediction to win.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also going to say that Natu Natu wins. I'm just going to put Everything Everywhere for what I want to win because I don't have as much of a stake.
And actually, you know, when I was listening to him, you know, I noted down that song is the most different from all the other nominees, other than Natu Natu. Natu Natu is you know, it's a Bollywood song, right? I guess it's more like a Telugu movie. But yeah, the Everything Everywhere song at least was different than the other ones, but I'll go with Natu Natu. Okay, we have finally arrived at Best Picture, and there's still some categories after it, but here we'll talk a little more in depth about some of these movies.
Okay,
so the nominees are, and there's a lot of them. There used to only be five? Is that what it used to be?
Yeah, just like the normal categories.
And now I'm feeling like we didn't need all these, but...
We needed nine.
Yeah, okay. So the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. So Peter and I have seen all of these. Ethan, you've seen everything but Women Talking, right?
That is correct.
But you have seen The Batman.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of which, obviously I'm going to say that it was a snub. I also think Nope was a snub here. I would have really liked to see Nope nominated.
And compared to what they nominated. Sorry, yes, go ahead.
No, I was actually about pretty much going to say verbatim that, because for me, I don't think Avatar or Elvis should be on this list.
Okay.
And so I think that there's two very logical other things you could have moved in there.
Yeah.
Nope and the Batman being two great options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't love having Elvis or Avatar on there.
No movie with as bad a performance as Tom Hanks in Elvis should ever be nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, it's an embarrassing performance.
It drags the whole movie down.
Yeah.
Like two or three stars. It's a terrible performance.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah. Do we just want to go in order on these and kind of share our thoughts on them?
I mean, so All Quiet on the Western Front, you know, it's on Netflix, it's in German.
War is hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it's a brand new message.
No.
I mean, it's an old book. This is, I don't know how many adaptations there have been of this.
Three or four.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an effective movie.
It's good. It's
a little
just
long.
It's a little long. It's good. It makes you feel miserable. I mean, it's a big war movie.
It was a bit of a gut punch, honestly, because like the way the movie starts tells you the way it's going to end.
Yeah. Right? No, you know.
And I didn't know it. I hadn't really taken that on board.
Yeah.
And then it got to the end. I'm like, okay, thematically that makes sense, but dang it.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah. Well, kind of going to the next film there for Avatar, as I've already mentioned, I don't hate the movie. I just don't like it. I don't think it deserves to be nominated. I think it's just because it's Cameron and it's big and pretty.
You know,
so
it's fun. It's the biggest movie of all of these. But given that there were other like crowd pleasing movies that you could have nominated in this slot, like The Batman or Nope.
So, you know, I do feel like the expansion of the categories was specifically to get more populist movies in.
Right? It was.
And so on this one, the two that you could argue, well, really the three, Avatar, Elvis, and
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun. Right. Ethan and I saw Avatar this summer. We saw it in 3D, which honestly is probably not the best way to see it, just because you get some of that loss of luminance. But it's the way Cameron wants you to see it. So I liked it better than Ethan did, but I feel like it has a huge flaw in that the bad guy in this movie should have been revealed at the very end of the movie and been the bad guy of the next one.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed that. So, yeah, I didn't love it.
It's fun. It's big. It's just doesn't hold a candle to anything else up here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, from a pure filmmaking standpoint, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Banshees of Inisherin. We haven't really talked much about this movie other than the acting performances are terrific. The directing is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this movie. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah. It's really good. I think the central premise is so understated. You know, it's such a weird movie where it feels so like understated as a movie. Like just the whole concept of one guy decides he doesn't want to be friends anymore, and that's the central premise. That's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that the performances kind of deepen it, and obviously it gets darker from there, but it's still never that flashy of a movie. It really is just like hey, I think you're kind of boring. I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I think it's very
fun. But that's not it, right? Because it's thematically deeper than that too.
Oh, of course, of course. But that's kind of that's the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very easy not to get this movie.
Yeah.
Like I have a lot of friends who saw this and they just didn't get it. And it's very understandable because it's a strange film, but I adore it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Elvis, we already talked about.
Yeah.
And I don't think we really need to talk about the rest of it. I will say that like we could have talked about it in actor. The physicality of Austin Butler is tremendous.
It's great.
I mean, he really evokes the presence of Elvis. I mean, to say nothing of the voice, you know, his performance is sort of the thing that drives it for me.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the music, you know, it's fun,
yeah.
But like Ethan said, the way it's directed just, you know, makes you want to throw up a little bit at times. And it just looks sort of like a cutscene from a video game a lot of times.
Yeah, it looks like the trailer for a movie.
Yeah, I feel like that's what Baz Luhrmann does, right?
It is. And honestly, I'll say there are moments here that I really enjoyed where it is just going maximum and just everything is being thrown at you at once. But it's just exhausting. And the length of the movie with that much going on just felt like at a certain point I was like, I can't.
We didn't watch the whole movie in one night.
Oh, that's a good call because I was exhausted after 30 minutes of it. I felt like, I was like, this movie has wrecked like my senses. I feel overstimulated and I'm not even like Elvis isn't even an adult yet. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a restaurant meal that's got too much salt on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very flashy and it was hard to get through. I'm not a Baz Luhrmann person. Mm-mm. I really cannot stand music from now being thrown in a movie set in the past. like doing the Doja Cat song. Granted, I actually like Doja Cat a lot.
same. She's great.
But throwing it in there, also like there's some really interesting choices in Greg Gatsby that he does with that being a very old movie and putting in modern music. I think it completely destroys the film.
I think the only movie that works is A Knight's Tale.
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything Everywhere All at Once. We all love it.
Love it.
So I want to talk about this one because Ethan, didn't you see like a preview show or something?
Yes. So I actually got a quick, really short story. I got an email from like Regal or something to go see it early. I saw it was A24. I saw it was Michelle Yeoh. I'm just going to buy a ticket. As I'm walking into the theater, Letterboxd ratings of 4.5. I realize I'm about to see the greatest thing of all time. I go in and I see better than what I thought I was going to have. I experienced every single emotion I've ever experienced. I think it absolutely is what I want to win. It's still, I think, objectively one of the best movies that's come out in a long time for all the reasons that we've discussed, whether it's acting, directing, music, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he called us and he said, you need to go see that movie as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I told you that if I explained it, you wouldn't believe me.
Right.
And I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You have to see the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the movie that I've recommended to people most this year.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a movie that I've shown my parents. I've shown to everybody I can. I mean, I've seen it 5 times now, three times in theaters. Saw it. Yeah. Saw it once just with some friends, twice with some different friends, a third time because it was playing at like a dinner theater where you could get pizza and watch the movie.
Nice.
Twice at home. It's worth it. It's been great every time.
I think I have not laughed louder at a movie. the butt plug fight scene.
You know it. Yes.
Yeah.
The moment where you know that it's going to happen, I just absolutely lost it.
I couldn't stop laughing
for
5 minutes. I mean, I talked to some people who didn't like that actually, like thought that was very like juvenile. And, you know, maybe that's just my sense of humor, but I thought it was so funny.
It was so funny. But like, I think that and like when the bear spits out the bullet in Cocaine Bear, are like the biggest laughs I've gotten in a theater. So sorry if you haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't seen it. I'll get to it. Yeah, I'm not worried about spoilers for Cocaine.
My worry though is like, I would love this. This is my pick to win. I mean, my pick, the one that I would like to win. But like, how does a movie with the butt plug fight scene and the hot dog fingers, how does it win Best Picture?
I know.
But I would still love it too.
Yeah.
Same.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, The Fablemans. It's a good movie.
It's good.
I'm not sure it's Best Picture worthy, really.
You know, I'll say it's Best Picture worthy. I think it's a great movie. I think it's really good. I think it's very like standard Oscar stuff. You know,
I guess it is. It's about filmmaking.
Steven Spielberg. Yeah. It's about filmmaking. Yeah. It's a beautiful story about how movies make the world beautiful, and it's all that.
Yeah. I did think that like one moment in the movie that I thought, okay, this is why it's nominated for Best Picture. The moment when the bully guy realizes that in making him look good, that the Spielberg character had done something cruel. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. he's like, I can't be that guy. That guy that you just put up on their screen, I can never be that guy. Mm-hmm.
And that
was a really good moment.
Beautiful moment. And for me, I actually, when I watched The Fabelmans, I wasn't really bought in for the first half, to be honest. Mm. I was like, this is good. But like Peter said, this is standard. I was like, this is what I'd expect.
Yeah.
But when they like start going to the school, there's the bully. He gets like the girlfriend, and like they're doing all the stuff with the camera. Mm-hmm. I was all in. So I actually think this will win.
Okay.
I think it's just in the best way possible, very by the numbers, Oscar bait stuff. Mm. Even though I still like it, I think it's a safe pick.
Okay. All right. Tar. Tar is one of those movies where we watched it and we kind of scratched our heads for a while. Mm. Strong performance, obviously, from Cate Blanchett. After watching the movie, heard a theory about the movie that made me really rethink it.
Mm.
The ghost story element of it.
Mm. Okay.
And so that makes me think, okay, it's a better movie than I thought, but is it? If it's not effective enough for me to have noticed any of that while I was watching the movie, is it really good? And I'm not sure.
I really like this one. This is probably my number two on this list.
Okay.
Like probably my second favorite movie. Yeah. On the list. I really liked it coming out of it. And I'm not sure I've heard the ghost story theory. I'll have to look it up. And
yeah, it's essentially, she's being haunted by the character that commits suicide, or by a previous one.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up any of that,
yeah.
But I really enjoyed just what felt like such a kind of complex character study. Mm. I was enthralled by Cate Blanchett's performance. And I think that's all the movie is her performance really. Yeah. So if you buy it as much as I bought it, mm-hmm. And enjoyed it as much as I did, I think that just made it a great movie for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the kind of moral it's not so much a moral ambiguity, but the movie just doesn't really tell you what to feel or how to feel about things,
right,
or what's true and what's not. It leaves a lot up to you to decide, you know. You just say like, is Lydia Tarr a bad person? Is she a reprehensible human being like these things are saying? Is she somewhere in the middle?
She definitely doesn't think that she is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. She doesn't think she is, but the movie, like, other characters think she is, or other characters give you the impression that she is, and it's...
Right. That's one of the interesting things in the movie is you have that scene early on in the movie, the long one shot in the actual lecture hall.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
For me, the movie doesn't get back to that for the rest of it. But that's where you get the first sort of cancel culture moment where somebody's recording it and then they edit it to make it look like she's anti-Semitic and stuff. And I really actually enjoyed what she said about the separating the art from the artist kind of thing, where can you really say that you're a student of music if you have not appreciated Mahler and other things? I don't know. I mean, I'm not super artsy fartsy about that, but
sure.
But, you know, they have that moment in there to go, oh, yeah, well, see, cancel culture is wrong because she's being pilloried for something she didn't really do. This is out of context. But then there's all the other stuff that she's been doing.
Yeah.
That's much worse.
Yeah, much, much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it left me thinking a lot after the movie, which for me is the sign of a movie like that I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. is if the days afterwards I'm really still like thinking like,
Yeah, I definitely thought about this one for a while. Ethan, this one didn't make a huge impression on you, yeah?
I actually, until you told me about the ghost thing, it made me rethink it, and I thought about it more. I was mainly just kind of attached to Cate's performance, and that drove it for me. But I think, honestly, I would definitely rewatch it. Like, I would consider rewatching it. I just, I'm not quite sure what to think yet. It's a fascinating film, is the way I would put it.
Yeah. Mm. All right, let's talk Top Gun Maverick. I'm glad this movie's on the list.
Yeah.
Even though it's on the list for the same reason that Avatar is. You know, these movies, those two movies combined made more than probably anything else that came out this year.
Yeah.
And the movie has no right to be as good as it is. That's the other thing.
No.
Right? Like, I like this way more than the first Top Gun. And I loved Top Gun
better.
When I first saw it in theater. I had it on VHS. I can't remember where I got it, but yeah, I watched it a ton. And then I watched this one. I'm like, oh, okay. Actually, I think we rewatched Top Gun during the summer, and I was like, that has some moments. But It's not great. Yeah. The dialogue's pretty bad, pretty melodramatic.
Yeah.
Where this one just, it has some moments that I've just watched over and over and over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the best blockbuster for me of the year. And honestly, I do think it deserves to be here. Obviously the 10 movies, there's plenty of movies that can get in there, but just considering what feels like cultural impact this year, as well as just being one of the most fun movies I've seen in the last several years.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to watch. It's the most effective recruitment ad for the Navy ever made.
Other than the first movie.
It's great. I mean, it's just really fun.
Well, the moment between Maverick and Iceman is really effective.
It is, yeah.
And part of that is the real world creeping in, right, because of Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And his situation. But that was really, really good.
Yeah.
And, Tom Cruise, I feel like, does not get enough credit for the actor that he is.
No. The Scientology stuff does, I think, hurt him a lot in terms of these kind of award seasons. Mm-hmm. And just, his outside of movies. But he's, I think, the best action star still working today. He's just such a good...
Oh, I mean, he's an all-timer for me just because of the Mission Impossible movies.
Then they're still good. They're still good.
They keep getting better. That's the crazy thing.
They do. So. They do. And he keeps getting older and they keep getting better. He's... Yeah. Just got such a great physicality. He's great.
Definitely.
We saw that one together, didn't we, Ethan?
We did. We saw RPX.
Yeah, we saw it in the Regal Premium experience with the speakers under the seats. It was awesome.
To this date, we'll quote it as the best theater experience of my life in terms of like the immersion and the just atmosphere of it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Triangle of Sadness.
A movie.
This was definitely a movie. I thought it was going to be a comedy, and there's some funny moments in it, and it has the most vomiting of almost everything. Although Babylon had some vomiting and so did The Whale, not as much as this one did.
No.
I kind of thought it was going to be like The White Lotus, the show.
Ooh, okay.
And tonally, it's quite different. It's more Lord of the Flies.
It is.
Yeah.
And this is the movie on the list that I've thought the most about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I loved it, but a movie that makes me think, it always gets an extra half star or so.
Yeah.
I texted you, Dad, multiple times throughout the film being like, so what's the deal? And I actually, it was funny because I texted you right before stuff started to hit the fan.
Yeah.
And so it was a very big contrast between the toxic masculinity, money talks at the beginning with the two models, and then turning
into Lord of the
Flies. Yeah, I thought that's what it was going to be the whole time.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. No. I mean, like, I liked the whole, like, he feels like she makes more money than he should. And for her to be a feminist, she should be paying the tab, right? And she's making the point, look, if I get pregnant, if any of these number of things happen, my career is over and my best hope is to be a trophy wife. And so I really like that they had that conversation earlier. And then he ends up being the trophy husband, basically.
Yeah.
Anita? Not Anita. Can't remember the name of the character.
Okay.
So yeah, I like that thematic parallel that you had there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the ambiguous ending. And I was saying to Elaine that I was like, I don't feel like telling her that she could be your assistant is going to save your life.
Yeah.
But that's the best she could come up with because she was clueless.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie, I think it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's so much. It's like three or four or maybe five movies.
Yes.
If like just tonally, it just jumps around so often. And it just feels so much.
Yeah.
I liked it. I think like, I enjoyed the overall experience of it, but it feels like maybe it could have used some time in the editing room. The whole vomiting / the captain and
the Russian guy.
The Russian guy and the captain just chatting or kind of doing their
over the PA
philosophical and political discussions just goes on for so long. What feels like 20 or 30 minutes, I was like, okay, the movie's almost over, right? And then it's not. It's not even close to being over.
There's like an
hour. Yeah, there's an hour left.
Ethan texted me and I was like, did you get to the Lord of the Flies part? And he's like, oh, there's going to be a shipwreck.
Yeah, no, the movie just it just, the pacing feels so long.
Yeah.
Because it switches tone and switches like what it feels like it's about.
Yeah, I feel like that scene is just beating you over the head with the fact that this movie is about equality and income disparities and stuff. And like, yeah, we got that from the argument earlier.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. It's a movie that really wants you to understand its point, but mm-hmm. doesn't realize that you got it 5 minutes in. Fun though. Like I had a good time. I feel like I'm being too negative. I had a good time.
Yeah. Sad part in this is the gal who played Yaya died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she died of an infection.
Oh, wow. So, she's very young.
She was only like 30. So
I did not realize that.
Yeah. So that's really sad. Because she was really good, actually.
Yeah.
Actually the whole cast was really good in this. So
yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, Best Picture, you don't usually have, you know, like a performance as bad as Tom Hanks's performance in Elvis.
Yeah. Slightly off topic. Have you seen any other movies by Ruben Östlund? From the director of this one?
List them off for me.
The Square was an Oscar-nominated movie he had mm-hmm. a couple years ago. And then I've only seen one other movie from him, which I'm trying to look up now because I'm forgetting what it's called. Yes, Force Majeure. Uh-uh. That one got a remake with Will Ferrell. I haven't seen the remake, but the original feels very similar to this one in that it has like one central kind of like moment or one central theme that the movie's about, and it just goes on for the whole movie. Mm. And that one, I like this one a lot more than that one. I'll say that.
Okay.
But I saw some interesting interviews with him after seeing the movie, and that all of his movies are about basically people trying to save face, like people being unwilling to kind of admit that they are wrong or that they've done something wrong. And I think that's just an interesting point because, yeah, this movie has a lot of people just kind of too proud to admit something.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading to just catastrophic failures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, on to Women Talking.
Women Talking.
This is one where like, I was so angry that there were no showings for this movie anywhere around here until, like, I think last Saturday was the first time I could have seen it in the theater. But then I realized I was recording another podcast at the time that it was going, and so I couldn't do it. And then, fortunately, it showed up as rentable for only like $5.99. And so I thought, okay, that's an easy choice because it's cheaper and we can watch it at home. And this is not a movie that needs to be seen on the big screen.
No, probably not.
Is it another one that I think is based on a play? Maybe a book. It feels like it's based on a play.
It's for sure a book. It might also be a play, but I saw the book in Barnes & Noble.
I think it's a book, not a play, but I told Ethan it's kind of 12 Angry Men kind of thing where it's people talking in basically a single room and it's kept interesting by the dialogue and the way the camera moves. Mm-hmm. And so it's an effective movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I saw this in theaters a few months, about a month ago, I think. It played near me.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. This is probably my third favorite movie on the list. It's tough, but it's
at some
really
point
good.
During the movie, and this is a slight spoiler, I commented, is like a jet going to fly over or something? It's going to be like The Village from M. Night Shyamalan. So then when a certain thing happened in the movie, I thought, oh, okay, I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, no, it's that's the thing that got me is just how modern the events that are taking place are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a spoiler. I don't think it is.
Well, it's kind of loosely based on some true events, actually.
Yeah. I've heard about that and I was shocked even more because I was like, boy, that's...
I mean, there's an easy message grim. In there for somebody like me who's very, in terms of Christian theology, very egalitarian, mm-hmm. where the more complementarian you get where there are gender roles, mm-hmm. The easier it is for really bad stuff to happen.
Yeah.
For you to oppress women. That theology is used to oppress women and to keep them down.
Pretty consistently.
Yeah.
No, I thought this was really good. 12 Angry Women.
Yeah. The Screen Junkies did their honest trailer for the Oscars today and they called it 12 Angry mm-hmm. Mennonites.
That's a good one too.
Honestly, like, dang it, I wish I would have thought of that one.
It's very similar to that movie and in the best way possible, the comparisons, I think. Yeah.
Well, and it is a Mennonite community too, so.
Yeah.
Which makes me think of humorous things in Letterkenny, but.
Yep.
Haven't seen you in the Age of a Dog once. Okay. Ethan had snubs for Nope and the Batman, which, you know, I would easily sub those in for Elvis, Avatar. You know, I really, really loved Living, and so I would have liked to have seen it nominated here. I think it would fit quite nicely, but it didn't. Mm. I think Ethan gave his picks for this one, but Peter and I still need to.
Yes. And Ethan, just to clarify, yeah. I picked Everything Everywhere for what I want to win, and I think The Fabelmans is going to win.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, let me pull up what I think. Oh, yeah. I think Everything Everywhere is going to take it.
And that's what you would like to happen?
That's what I'd like to happen. I'm predicting like the Everything sweep.
Yeah.
And I'm putting all my eggs in one basket.
Okay. I would like to see that happen as well, but I'm going to pick The Banshees of Inisherin. I feel like it might not win anything in the other categories, but it could take this. It'd be sneaky.
It'd be sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to production design. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Babylon, Elvis, and The Fabelmans. So for me, I went ahead and put both my picks on The Fabelmans. I feel like it's going to win something, and this could be it. Because there's so much of like the stuff showing the actual how movies get made kind of stuff. Babylon has the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Definitely. I'm going to say Babylon for that one.
You're predicting Babylon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also predicting Babylon. Just from what I've seen of the movie, I think Babylon, it just seems like an Oscar pick for production design.
Yeah.
Again, because the movie's not likely to win much else. Although I realize as I say that The Fabelmans is unlikely in my eyes to win anything, which is tough, but I do think Babylon will take this.
Yeah. What would you pick if you could?
I think The Fabelmans probably.
Okay. All right, yeah. Ethan.
I'm also going to agree. I think Babylon here, even though I haven't seen it as well, would be a good pick just based on what I've heard and seen. I actually would be down with All Quiet winning. I have All Quiet for a lot of categories, to be honest. So I'm curious if like I'm just being a little too optimistic or if it's just going to do really well.
Yeah.
But I could see them winning, and I would like them to, but ultimately Babylon is what I'm going to go with.
Okay. Of course, the real winner is the Batman.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man, we've still got some categories to go, don't we?
We do. We can knock some of these out quick, though, because we've talked about them in the
we can. Okay. All right. So for sound, there is All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Batman, Elvis, and Top Gun. See, I shortened it right there by a few seconds. And then I kept talking and completely undid anything that I did to shorten it.
What do you fix?
I would go with The Batman for my pick on this one, because the sound really is a character in that movie. And I'm going to give it to the Top Gun, because I feel like Top Gun might win something, and this could be it.
Yeah, I agree. That is my exact feeling on it. I think Top Gun Maverick's going to win this. That's the category I said I thought it would win. And
I suspected, yeah.
I think it'll win.
I did as well.
Yeah. And I think it deserves to win.
Okay.
Sounds great.
How about you, Ethan?
I'm going to go double the Batmans.
Okay.
I could definitely see Top Gun winning, though. I would not be upset if that was the aspect of that film to beat the greatest film of all time. I'm just kidding.
The best Batman movie, in my opinion.
All right. We were quick on that one. So let's go. Yeah, visual effects. We should be quick on this one, too. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Batman, Black Panther, and Top Gun.
Avatar, The Way of Water for me.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's...
Is that your pick or your guess?
That's my guess.
Okay. What's your pick? And
my pick, honestly, my pick is Avatar as well. I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
Say nothing else about the movie. I think it looks, it's the best visual effects I've seen in a movie ever, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like any other movie on this list depends on visual effects as much as that one does.
Yeah.
I guess Black Panther probably does, because there's a lot of effect shots in that.
Yeah, there are, but Avatar looks way better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which actually, that reminds me, I'm curious, did you see it in 2D or 3D?
Saw 3D.
Okay. I'm curious what it looked like in 2D, because obviously it is going to be different in the 3D experience.
Yeah, 3D I feel like hurts it a bit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. My pick is Top Gun Maverick, just because I feel like the effects that they had to do were subtle. Right. Because there were a lot of actual planes, but there are some planes that weren't really there, and they all looked great. So
the Gen 5 ones...
Yeah, they were not
there, right?
Yeah, that's why. I think it might have been a different plane, or it might not have been there at all. Could have been just 100% effects.
Yeah. Mm. I think Avatar is going to win. I think this is one of the most certain categories on the list. I think it will absolutely win. And to no surprise, you guys already know what I think I would like to win, so I'm not going to say it. But Avatar's going to do
it. Leave that unsaid.
Okay. Yeah, so my like what I would like to win would be Top Gun, but I do feel like Avatar will win. So okay. Moving on to the writing category. So adapted screenplay, we have All Quiet on the Western Front, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, Living, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. So Living, I'm the only one who's seen that one, but it's basically adapted from Ikuru, and I guess it's technically based on Tolstoy as well. But for this one, did I even write down? I put my guess on this one would be Women Talking, and my pick would be Living, though.
Okay. My guess on this one is Women Talking, and I think my pick is also Women Talking. I think it's pretty much fully screenplay and performances. Yeah. It's all in the script, and it delivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, just from hearing briefly from you guys before about Women Talking, that's why I think we'll win. For Want to Win, it's funny because the other four, out of those four, I would pick All Quiet. No, there's not that much dialogue, to be honest, you know. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't consider it like a like screenplay heavy film, but I cannot personally vote for Glass Onion. Not that I didn't like the film, I just am not gonna pick
it's
that.
I think there's a weird thing that's been happening with adapted screenplay where they allow it to be adapted from a character.
Yeah,
like the Borat rule.
I don't
buy it.
Yeah, it's a weird choice.
Yeah, it's to me, I'm like, adapted means pulled from a book.
Yeah, book, a play, some other form of media. Yeah. Like Top Gun Maverick is not a book.
No. Okay, so technically Top Gun was adapted from a book. It's just not a fiction book.
Okay. But is Top Gun Maverick a book?
Well, since it's a sequel.
I guess it's adapted from it, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a weird, weird category for me, even though I could see Women Talking definitely winning there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then original screenplay, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness. Mm. Does anybody have anything but Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Okay.
I do as well.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what my pick and my want are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that your pick and your want? Yeah, Everything Everywhere? Well, my want is the same as yours. I think I want Everything Everywhere All at Once to win, but my prediction is the Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
I do as well. That's what I put for both of mine, actually. So
since I put mine down, I'm going to keep it the way it is, but I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I think you guys are both going to steal a point from me there.
Yeah, probably.
I definitely think that's a pretty big one for Banshees right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So international feature, we did not have a lot of watching on these, right?
No. I just couldn't get to them.
I saw everything but Close, which was the one from Belgium. My pick would be The Quiet Girl, the Irish one. It's just love that one. I guess it's going to go to All Quiet, though.
Yeah. My pick and my guess is the only one I've seen. Wait, no. Sorry. My guess is All Quiet. My pick is a movie that wasn't nominated, Decision to Leave.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of
it. I think that one sweeps this category if it got nominated. It's great.
Korean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's by a really big Korean director. I'm trying to remember his name, though. Like the guy who did Old Boy and The Handmaiden. What's his name? He's famous. But it's really good. I have to recommend it. You got to watch it.
I was surprised that RRR didn't make it in here. And that's, you know, that was the reason that I watched it, because I just assumed it was going to get nominated. And I was like, well, I was glad I watched it anyway. It was fun. We watched over like four nights.
it's long, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I
EO, I will say, is it just punches you in the balls at the end.
So, oh, okay. I'm going to watch it sometime soon. It looks good, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, good to know. Let Adriana know. She was kind of interested in it because it's a, you know, I don't know, movie about a donkey.
Yeah.
So is Benjamin Vinashiran, you know, I'm just kidding.
right.
It's a pony.
Yes, that's true. So I would like All Quiet to win. I could see Argentina winning because it won the Golden Globe. And that's my only frame of reference for awards in this category. So
it's yeah. a good movie, and like it could win because of like anti-nationalist sentiment, and that's what that movie is about. So, and it is a good movie. It's you know, as effective as that kind of movie tends to be, courtroom drama kind of thing. So it was good. Okay, animated feature. Ethan's going to set this one out.
Well, you and I've seen all of them.
I will say that I think Pinocchio will win. I know enough to. I feel like that's okay. That's got to be it. But we'll see.
Yeah, for animated feature, we have Guillermo del Toro. I have a really hard time saying his name. GDT's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, The Sea Beast, and Turning Red. So, Peter, when I wasn't really planning on watching any of the animated features, just because I've kind of gotten burned out, especially on CG mm-hmm. animation. I feel like it just all looks the same.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, it's a pretty strong year for animation.
It's a strong year.
Yeah. And I'll say that GDT's Pinocchio, just to be sure, because there was another Pinocchio. Actually, I think there were two other ones that came out this year, and the other ones were awful. I haven't seen them. And Puss in Boots was a surprise to me.
It's really good.
You
it's
mentioned really, it. It's really, really good. And we watched it. And the other thing that I like about it is, like, it doesn't look exactly like all the other 3D animated movies. No. And, like, it has two really good antagonists.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll say my prediction is GDT's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
But I honestly want Puss in Boots to win, or Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which I also very much enjoyed this year.
I like that one a lot as well. And I was looking at it and I was like, that's not really an animated movie. It's live action. But no, yeah. It totally is. It's almost entirely animated. So
yeah,
it's just stop motion.
Yeah, those ones are great. And honestly, The Sea Beast I enjoyed a lot too.
I like that a lot more than I thought I would. I did not like Turning Red.
I thought it was fine. It's a Disney movie. It's cute or Pixar.
Yeah, it was not designed for me. It was just, I found it super annoying at the beginning. Everything it was doing, talking to the camera. I'm like, I don't need my characters breaking the fourth wall in an animated movie.
I thought it was fun, but again, compared to everything else.
This is the thing. This is the thing I resent most about it, was I didn't like it. 90% of the movie I did not care for, but the manipulation that Pixar does still ended up working. I'm like, okay, that's touching. And like, dang it, you pulled that trick on me, even though I didn't really enjoy the story.
It's a great year.
But yeah, Pinocchio, especially after watching the behind the scenes stuff, there's a little documentary on Netflix that's like 30 minutes about how they did it and how they have a Pinocchio that's like 9 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Because they needed that one for the shots where they were focusing on the cricket.
Okay.
That was next to him.
Oh, that's so fun.
I just feel like this is my favorite thing that GDT's ever done.
Ooh, I don't know if I can agree with that, but I did really like it.
It just like there's some parts of his style that I'm like, I don't like that. It's kind of like the Tim Burton style. Del Toro definitely has a style.
Yeah.
And I don't always like it, but in this, I thought it worked really, really well. I liked how odd Pinocchio looked, you know, and like I said, the Ciao Papa moment was good. And, you know, the other thing I liked about this is that Pinocchio is a public domain story. So anybody can make a movie Pinocchio and not have to pay any rights. And so he can take this and set it in, you know, Mussolini's Italy and make a movie about nationalism. And I thought that's fantastic.
It's so interesting to see a Pinocchio movie that's about the rise of Italian fascism instead of, you know, the Disney version. It's very, very different.
Yeah. Big fan of that.
Yeah.
So that's my pick and my guess. Yeah. I think you said as well.
Yeah. We're all Pinocchio.
The Sea Beast, one thing I also like that it didn't look exactly like everything else, right? Mm-hmm. It was sort of a kaiju movie almost.
That was
fun.
Yeah.
Okay, we have finally come to the last category, documentary feature film. I saw three of these. So the nominees are All That Breathes, All the Beauty in the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and Navalny. So Peter, you saw Fire of Love and Navalny.
Yeah, that's correct.
I also saw All That Breathes. I thought these were all good movies.
Yeah.
I didn't see the other two that just weren't available for me to watch anywhere.
I couldn't find them. Yeah. Yeah. I struggled.
Yeah. Whereas, I think Fire of Love was on Disney Plus.
Yep. Disney Plus and Navalny's on HBO Max.
And so was All That Breathes. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All good stuff. I think my pick would be Fire of Love. It's fascinating, you know, volcanologists falling in love, and then boy meets girl, boy marries girl, boy and girl get killed by a volcano.
It's a very nice romance. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, and like the stuff about how volcanologists kind of helped learn how to predict and avoid disasters, and how they weren't even listened to at first.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stuff in that movie.
Yeah. I feel like Navalny will win just because anti-Putin sentiment. And there's an interesting detective story in there too. They're talking about how they tracked the poisoners. That was really fascinating.
Oh yeah, no, there's my pick for the year for my favorite is probably Fire of Love, but my prediction is Navalny. Although honestly, it's a pretty tight race for me.
Yeah.
For so far as my favorite.
Yeah.
I like both. There's a moment in Navalny that I feel like I don't want to spoil. Because it really is, it's my favorite moment of the movie, and it comes nearish the end. You probably know the scene. It's that phone call.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene in the movie.
Where they finally get what they wanted.
Yeah, it's such a fun moment that is just feels so unreal. Feels almost scripted, but it is, you know, real.
Well, you know that the enemies of Navalny are saying that it was scripted. It was made up.
Yeah, I know. It's just such a great scene. Even if it is scripted, it's such a great scene. If it were a scripted movie, it'd be a great scene.
Oh, no, I 100% think it was genuine.
Me too.
Yeah.
It feels genuine.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the categories. Ethan got to take a break at the beginning and the end. I guess I could have done that better.
Oh no! Ethan? Did you want to pick for a documentary feature film? Just want to make sure we all have the same number of votes.
I'll write it down on I'm actually going through the sheet right now and putting down all the picks and copying them over. So I think I put for. Yeah, I'll have to look at it later, but I don't have a pick at the moment. I'll find one.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. I was surprised how much of this I was, one of the nice things about the post-COVID era is that things tend to be available on streaming services not long after they're in the theater.
Much faster. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're about wrapped here. So let me know. I'll post this on social media. Let me know what were your picks for some of these categories. And
yeah.
I think that's about it. So I want to thank Ethan and Peter for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We were planning at some point to do this in person, but the schedule didn't quite work out. I didn't want to make you drive all the way across Portland on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, that would have been tough. That would have been tough.
Yeah. Yeah. You just had to stay overnight.
Yeah.
Unless it snowed and then you're here for 3 or 4 days. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't, couldn't have chanced that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And at some point we'll do another one of these episodes. Probably. Maybe. Who knows? All right, so bye, everybody.